Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 50, Staying in Our Power as Busy Women.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
I've become so aware recently of how busy women have become. They can be of all ages, but you might have noticed that when I speak to a friend or I speak to someone, they say, I'm just so busy, I'm busy. I have so many things to do. And maybe it's just a reflection of myself that I've been particularly busy recently. But I'm noticing how women are feeling the need to multitask in order to feel adequate. So this busyness is not just merely activity, enjoyable activity, something that you're doing. Many times I'm seeing and hearing women saying, I have to do this, I have to take care of that person, I need to do this to be successful. And it almost feels as if we're on a hamster wheel running and sometimes not getting where we want to get to. Now, this is fine. This is not to say stop. This is much more about saying, what are you doing that is true to you as a woman? And what are you doing true to yourself as a mini man? Now, you might say, what's the difference? Well, we live in a more male oriented society. We know that being successful, it's about doing, about moving, about changing, about showing your success. And that's not the feminine way. The feminine is much more about being and being magnetic, bringing into yourself rather than moving out of yourself. And what's happened is that women have lost the way because we don't have role models to show us what it is to be a powerful woman. Now, you might be jumping up and down saying, I know what it is to be a powerful woman. I am it. Or I know the role models that I would say, yes, that's a powerful woman. So if you were to say, I know powerful women in my life, what are the qualities that you give to someone who is powerful? I.e., what do you see in them that makes you think, yes, this is a powerful being in my life? Is it because they are caring? Nurturing, graceful, powerful in their own beingness, intellectual, powerful in their physicality, sexual, sensual? What is it defines in your mind a powerful woman? Now, you may well say, well, I see women who have reached the top of their profession as powerful. I see women who have succeeded against the odds. I see women who are equal to the men in the world. All of those things I'm not denying are signs of power, but they may not necessarily be signs of your feminine being powerful. And I would like to make sure that we don't get out of balance with ourselves as women because there's one thing that is inherent in every woman, and it is that we are rhythmic. We go through cycles, whether you still have periods, whether you have periods only based on a patch or a pill. But the cyclical nature is like the moon. And I'm sorry to say, you can't get away from that if you wanted to. We're also like Mother Earth. She goes through her seasons. So what I'm saying to you is you may say, I can work at this pace 24/7 every month without stop. But I'm sorry, but your body can't. Your psyche can't, your physiology can't. It's not the way we are made. We are made to be rhythmic. We are made to be curvaceous. And you say, what does that matter? Well, everything curling, everything cyclical is what the way we're made as well. Our uterus, our breasts are curvaceous. I don't know, mine are. And what I'd say to you is, if we just look at that rhythm, the rhythm that I have described before, which is whether it's your period, or you have still have periods, or whether or not you focus on the dark moon, the dark phases of the moon, when you can't see the moon for 3 days around the new moon, it's that period of time that's our most powerful. And it's very interesting that women are more powerful in the darkness, in the mystery, in the unknown, in the chaotic, in that which cannot be seen. Our masculine is much more happy in the spotlight, in the out, in the doing, in the full moon, in the middle of the sun. And I just, you may say, what's she talking about? But I want to say is that your power is not in your activity. It's in your stillness. It's in your strength when you are holding connection to the earth, to the moon, to your body. You do not need, therefore, to be powerful to go out and join a course, although, of course, one course I would suggest you might come to is my own online course, Women's Mysteries for the Modern Woman. But apart from that, it's not by building your muscles or building your intellect that you will become powerful as a woman. Everything is inherently built inside you. And as I was speaking about, these rhythms are important. So we start with the darkness, whether it's your period or the dark moon. And then we have this period of time, which is either up to ovulation or up to the full moon, which is our most creative time. That's a time to get out into the world, a time to discover new ideas, to put those ideas into action. It's the development of the egg. Develop your ideas. And then at ovulation and the full moon, here you are. You're saying, I made it. I'm here. Yeah, look at me. And your masculine is very happy at that time because it is shining. But when the full moon is there, remember, that's only half the moon. We don't see the back of the moon. And so there, the mother, dark moon, is still waiting. And slowly we will see that waning moon. But before we get there, after ovulation, after the full moon, you have a week to fertilize your ideas, fertilize your eggs if you're wanting to get pregnant. But remember, your purpose is not about just having babies. It's wonderful to have babies. But we have on average 450 cycles as a woman, and then we continue after the menopause. And so, yes, you may give birth to babies, but every month, whatever your age, after the age that you start your periods, you will continue to have the ability to give birth to a project, an idea. So in that week after the new moon, excuse me, the full moon, or after ovulation, you want to be fertilizing your ideas. In other words, maybe you want to put your ideas onto social media. Maybe you want to invite people to hear what you're doing. Maybe you'll be more sociable, more charismatic, more flirtatious in these times, because this is the time when you really want to bring your ideas, not just into your head, but literally birth them. Maybe you make contact with people who say, oh, I'll help. Literally, they have a lightning rod or a piece of lightning, an idea for you, and it expands your ideas beyond what you had originally thought. Then you have that week before the new moon, before your period, when you should be quieter, more introspective, withdrawing, where you can say, okay, where have I experienced joy in this last month? What have I learned in this last month? What am I celebrating? What have I learned about myself? And what am I wanting to let go of? So that last week before the period, before the new moon, is not a great time to start a project or to get out into the world. Maybe you even tell people who you usually visit, you'll say, not going to come for another week. I'll come after I've had my period or after the new moon. Now, again, you may be listening and saying, well, that takes a lot of effort. It doesn't. And all I'm asking you to do is look at your rhythm, look at how you may get out of rhythm and how you may be pushing yourselves during a period of time when you need to be quieting down. Or maybe you're quieting down when you need to be pushing yourself. It's no wonder that women are probably getting more depressed, more anxious, rather than less so, because we're out of rhythm. Does that make sense? It's as if somebody else is beating the drum and you're following that, when you really need to follow what feels right for you. And that's why it's in your body. So when you're out of touch with yourself, especially in that week before your period or before the new moon, you might find yourself getting agitated or exhausted or just leave me alone, get out of my life. And it's really because those feelings are accurate to what you need in that moment. So yes, you may have PMS, but your PMS is actually not a symptom to be treated. It's a sign that you're out of balance. Hope I'm making sense here. So one of the first things I say is, yes, be powerful. Yes, be busy. But look at, am I being busy, you know, across the board 24/7 when I really need to be in this more cyclical pattern? The next thing I want to say to you, and I'm going to give you some really helpful tips to help you in the immediacy of your busyness, but I also ask you, why are you being busy? I need to, Christine. I need to. I have a mortgage. I have payments. I have children to put to college. Okay, so where are you feeling that you can't let go? Where are your duties, your responsibilities, causing you to get into a place where you can't change? You're fearful. And that is one of the reasons why we're seeing so much heart disease in women. We've got into that same place that the men were in 50 years ago when they would say, I can't change my life because. So you are limiting your life by saying you're limiting your joy. Because you're saying, I have to do this, I have to do this. Now, again, you're saying, well, it's easy for you to talk. Well, it might be easy for me to talk, but I'm saying to you is, every time you say, I should, I must, I ought to, or if I don't do this, something's going to happen. You are limiting your creativity, limiting your productivity, and you are leaking energy. You can never be powerful enough, strong enough, when those energies are working through you. Make sense? So what are you doing? Why are you doing it? Has to be asked. And who's driving the bus? Who's driving the show? If you're self-employed and you're so busy, then how come that's happening to you when you're the one that controls your calendar or your diary? Do you know how to have healthy boundaries? And this again is one of the issues that I think women have more than men, is that if you've got children, if you have a partner, if you've got parents you have to take care of, you've got friends you love, if you've got work people, it is much more common for women to see their need to help other people. Much more common. We are programmed to help other people, especially if they're suffering or they're needing help or because we are so sensitive to their emotions, when someone is unhappy, we tend to want to step in and fix the problem. Because if we can fix the problem, then they'll feel happy and we won't feel so bad. Make sense? So again, I'm not asking you to not take care of your parents or not take care of your children or your partner. But at what level are you doing it? Because A, you may not be able to handle the emotions that they're expressing, i.e. they may be unhappy, and you feel that it's your duty to make them happy. Or B, you feel guilty maybe, especially with your children, because you are busy. Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so busy, I haven't got time for you. And so I've got to actually give extra time because I feel guilty. Now, I want to say I see women having every right to be working mothers, working wives, working daughters. But if we're going to do that, we have to be kind to ourselves. So it isn't a case, I believe, of I do my work and then I take care of other people. Because where are you in all of this? What I know so clearly is how difficult it is for women to put themselves at the top of the priority list, to say, right, these are my needs, and then everybody else comes after that. Because that's not how we're taught, it's not how we're supposed to function. But unless you take care of yourself, I know it's a cliche, you can't help anybody else. And taking care of yourself is actually putting you back in the role that you came here to do, which is not merely as a caretaker, it's as a spiritual leader. 3,000 years ago, women were the spiritual leaders. Men were the physical leaders, and we worked very well together, harmoniously. What does it mean to be a spiritual leader? No, it's not about going and joining a church or taking up a religion. The spiritual leader is the one with the insight who sets the intention for the month, who sets the focus. And the physical leaders go and do it. So the women in the past have always been those who have been able to have the bigger vision, to see what's right for the next seven generations, to know where changes need to happen, to know when to say, stop, we're not doing that, or that is not acceptable. And it's been the men who have been willing, because of their strength and their ability to be logical and put practical ideas together, to go and do those things. And both were happy. The visionary, the one who held what was important for the community, wasn't about just sitting there and having ideas, but being practically inspirational, to being inspirational in the words you use, in the actions you take. And that is true compassion. So yes, be compassionate, but compassion isn't about, let me just take care of you and you don't ever have to suffer. It's about, what is the most compassionate thing I can do in this moment? What's the most wise and compassionate thing I can do? In other words, when women are in their center, in their power, their intuition is really strong. They speak from their heart, they speak from their third eye. When we get busy, we're being driven by our solar plexus that wants to achieve and wants to be seen as okay. The solar plexus is always about, am I okay? Am I getting enough approval? And our base chakra that has a fear of being insecure. And therefore we're driven by the base chakra, the adrenal gland, solar plexus, keep going. And the throat chakra that says, oh, I've got to do more. I've got to be more. What should I do next? The thinking part of us. Does this make sense to you? So what am I suggesting here? That with, as a powerful woman, the ability to have that insight, that clarity, that compassion where you really are working from a loving space, not from a fearful, panicky, I must take care of everybody's space. And when you're in that place, you make better decisions. And you actually make decisions first and foremost that are right for you. You realize that if you do not survive, if you get sick, if you are not in your center, nobody around you will be. Do you know how powerful you are? It's like, when you see a mother animal and she's pregnant, she doesn't go off trying to do something else. She says, no, this is what I'm here for. And then she takes care of that child. And then maybe she moves the child out the nest, but she knows her priorities. And her priorities are not just about survival. That's what we're always being taught. They're about survival beyond the ego needs. So knowing that you are connected to everything as a woman, you do not need to keep running around trying to meet your small needs. Because when you're connected, all your needs are met. Now, that's a very big statement, but I can guarantee when you get into a running around mode, we're not coming from a place of security and trust and love or feeling the belief that we are loved. We're running around from a fear of not being enough. So what's driving the bus, as I said? What's driving you into busyness? And is your busyness feeding you as a woman, or maybe only feeding your masculine for a few moments before you need another fix? So let me give you some ideas of what I suggest you start doing to be able to bring yourself back into the center, even in the midst of busyness. I've already talked about getting back into rhythm with yourself. That's a much bigger story in terms of I want you to practice that every month. But first and foremost, our masculine breathes in, our feminine breathes out. So if in doubt, breathe out. Yes. And as you breathe out, and I work with a lot of people and I ask them to breathe out and I see it's all up in the throat. When you breathe out, make a sound. And to keep doing it. And usually I suggest counting in on the count of three, out on the count of six. And as I breathe out, I gather all the thoughts going on in my head, because there's likely to be very little value going on in your head in those moments of panic. So when you breathe out, you're gathering all those thoughts, breathing them right down through your body and right into your feet. And then as you hear me saying or doing, hold your breath out. When you need to take that next breath, take that next breath. So how's this working? You may notice that when you get panicky, when you get too busy, you breathe in and hold your breath in. Okay, let's go. That's your masculine. Your feminine says, let me breathe out and hold my breath out. And the more you focus on your feet, not your head, it's furthest away from your head, the calmer you'll become. If you notice that when you hold your breath out, it's really hard to think, that's good. Second, lean back, not lean forward. Feel the energy change. If I lean back into my chair now, I'm leaning back into the arms of my soul, into my heart. If I lean forward, I can almost feel myself getting busy. My solar plexus is activated, my throat chakra is activated, everything's activated. Lean back. I become calmer. And if you're standing, obviously don't fall over as you lean back, but lean back on your heels. You'll actually find that you make better decisions leaning back on your heels, leaning back in your chair. It's almost like the back of your mind starts to become activated, back of your heart, rather than the frontal lobe. We don't need that activated this time. And so even if you're doing this sitting on the toilet seat, just do that. Lean back, not too far, breathe out. And what you're really asking is, what is the wisest, what is the most compassionate thing I can do in the moment? And what's the best thing for me? What will give me pleasure? What will nurture my soul? Believe me, your nurturing comes top of the list. Now, to go a bit deeper, I've spoken before about how we became disconnected from the earth. Your power comes from the earth, not from the sky. Breathing in and looking up to the heavens, that's not going to help you. Breathe out. And you've heard me speak about, imagine that you have magnets on the soles of your feet. There's an even larger magnet in Mother Earth, and she's pulling you into her. And then develop roots from the base of your feet, from the soles of your feet, and let those roots go in all directions, from the side, deep. And then most importantly, imagine that the soil of Mother Earth surrounds your roots, supporting you with nurturing energy, but not suffocating you. I hope that feels good if you're doing it. Hope you're doing it in a safe place. You're not driving at the time. Should have mentioned that. But the fact of the matter is, even if you were driving, rooting yourself helps you to be more centered, more still. And that connection with Mother Earth is so important. My experience is, if you had a poor relationship with your mother because she either dominated you or suffocated you or tried to take over your life, or she didn't support you, you felt rejected or abandoned, then you will have difficulty rooting into Mother Earth. And the exercise I have just taught you will help you absolutely so much. So even if you just did that, even if you just put roots into the earth and felt yourself merging into her, you will become more powerful. Because the fear that you have that comes from insecurity, not being enough, not fitting in, not belonging, oh my God, I've got to work harder, all comes because you're not rooted. That comes from the base chakra. I've mentioned before how the base chakra energy, the kundalini, got cut off from the dragon energy under your feet. So when you reconnect your base chakra to your root chakra, 9 feet under your feet, 3 meters under your feet, and you actually allow those roots of yours to be settled in Mother Earth, you will find yourself being still. And again, calmer, more in rhythm with yourself. Now, people around you may say, come on, we need to do this. I've just got to ask you, in those moments, why would you be driven by other people's intentions? I might get, I might be sacked, I may lose my job. Well, if they're not recognizing and respecting you for who you are, maybe you're better out of that. So is the rhythm of your work, is the rhythm of the people around you actually in harmony with you? Are you being able to be yourself, or are you playing a role, which women, again, are so good at doing, when you feed the needs of others, or you're taking on the emotional needs of others, or you're, as I say, dancing to someone else's drum? Once you get back into rhythm with yourself, you may say, I don't want to be in rhythm with them anymore. I can't do it. I can't fit into their box anymore. I can't fit into their jar. That's what happened to me when I decided to leave behind the teaching that I used to do for hospitals and doctors and nurses, because I realized I couldn't meet their thinking anymore when I thought I could. I couldn't get into their space anymore. I'd grown in different ways. Maybe you've done that. You're outgrowing the situations you're in. And the drive that most people are driven by, Emma's saying, which is fear, you don't want to play that game anymore. You can't play it anymore. Because when you're connecting the way I'm suggesting, leaning back, breathing out, connecting to Mother Earth, you realize you now are actually connected to something much bigger. You're no longer so fearful. You're trusting love. And then you realize, wow, I can't be in that other atmosphere anymore. It's not me. Now, please, before you give up your job, I have one or two other small hints for you. One of the things that women tend to do is, as I said, we take on other people's energy. You may say, I don't do this. Believe me, you do. We do it unconsciously, subliminally. We take on energy because we want to help other people. And if they're feeling bad, we have this belief that if we take on their energy, they can then transform and be what we perceive potentially they could become. So I'm suggesting that every woman is psychic. Psychic is the ability to feel energy. But we can also become vacuum cleaners or sponges, taking on energy. Do you recognize you do that? Maybe by the end of the day, you're exhausted. I'm meeting more and more women who tell me they've been depressed. And I have to say, it's not your depression. It's not your anxiety. It's the people around you. So what we need to do is to build better boundaries. But we can't just put a wall around ourselves, although I'm going to suggest something like that. We first have to accept we're doing this. It's not them doing it to us. So we have to say, yes, I know those people have those energies or there, and I may want to try and fix them, but perhaps I need to find better ways of helping them, which might be through questions. You know, I don't feel you're happy. Is there anything I can do? Instead of just taking on the energy. Please try that out for size. I don't want you, as I say, to feel, oh my goodness, these people around me are wrong for me. You may be wrong for them. And once as a woman, you realize that it isn't your role to just walk around and vacuum clean everybody's energies, you again become more in your center, more powerful. So here's one of my almost last suggestions for today. Imagine above your head is a beautiful silvery full moon, watery silvery full moon. And what I want you to do is to bring that silvery watery moon all the way down through your body, through your head especially. So that what happens is that everything that you've taken on that is not yours, you breathe it out. It's again part of the breathing exercise, but this time you're cleansing. And you cleanse down, especially through your womb, especially through your uterus, even if you haven't got one now, you clear that energy, because that's where we tend to store all these energies in our uterus, in our womb. You wash down. You can do it a few times. Bring the silver moon down a few times. For some of you, you can do it just at night. It's almost like something you would do to cleanse yourself before you go to bed. So bring the moon down and then root yourself. And then maybe in the morning, when you put your feet on the ground, when you get up in the morning, imagine the sun rising up through you. A beautiful golden sun coming from beneath your feet, coming up through your body, filling you, especially filling the sacral chakra, which is a beautiful vessel, filling the heart, which is a beautiful vessel, chalice vessel, and then filling the crown chakra, which is another beautiful vessel. And imagine that energy just flowing out through the top of your head, down around you, and then back down under the feet. So that when you go to work or you become busy, you have this golden bubble around you. But maybe you just need to do the clearing during the day. Maybe you get busy, cleanse down with silver, rise up with gold. These are really old alchemical energies that will help you. And walk with your golden bubble. And be in your golden bubble, not from fear, but from saying, I am full of energy. And as the last thing I'm going to suggest to you, is that once you bring that golden energy into your uterus, your excuse me, sacral chakra, you then have the power to speak from that place. Clearly, I brought up that energy too quickly because it's actually made me cough. But when you settle that energy into your uterus, into your sacral chakra, you then can speak from that place. Rather than, clearly, I was starting to do as I brought the energy up, I went down into my throat chakra. So that when you want to speak to people, root yourself, feel the magnets on the soles of your feet, bring the energy up, but stop at the sacral chakra, and then give whatever it is you want to say to people from that place. You're speaking from your womb, not from your throat. And what women are wanting to say is, respect me. Stop what you're doing now. I will not be knocked off my cycle. I will go through my cycle in a healthy way. And the last thing I want to say is, women are powerful because they can actually cleanse the energy. But they can also, on that first day of their period, on the first day of the dark moon, we actually die to the outer world in terms of we let go of everything that was our outer identity and we reconnect to this source of oneness that I say lives beneath your feet. It's almost like Mother Earth connects to everything that has ever been on this planet. And it's through our heart we connect to the heart of Mother Earth, the heart of the galaxy, the heart of the universe, and the heart of everything. And when we are connected to everything, there is no fear. So one of the reasons the patriarchy was so nervous of us is that if every month, for one day of the month, we let go of everything and we return to the oneness, and we then become powerful from that place, we also can't be threatened, because if we die every month, death is not what we fear. That goes much deeper for many of you, but I know I'm touching into your hearts, touching into the heart of your knowingness. If you want to read more, please do look at both my books, the Handbook of Women's Mystery, the online course that's connected to that, and The Healing Power of the Sacred Woman. So until next time, be busy, but be powerful. And know that you are connected to something so much larger than anything you can imagine through your heart. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Remember to check out other episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. And do share with friends, family, and colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of HeartSpeak.